Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. I think you all know that by now. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is uranium, clean energy of the future. Everyone knows I've been talking about it for a while. I think that uranium is going to be a one to watch for the future. Joining me today is Siobhan Lancaster. She is the CEO of 92 Energy. The ASX code is 92E, E for energy. Nice and easy to remember. Siobhan, great to see you. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kerry. It's great to be here.
Well, let's start off by letting our listeners know, I know that obviously you're a uranium company, you have assets in Canada, but give me the high level view, because you only listed in April, so it'll be new to a lot of our listeners as to who are 92 Energy.
So 92 Energy listed as a uranium exploration play. We have projects in the Athabasca Basin, which is probably the most prolific, highest grade uranium district globally. So we listed on the basis that, strong uranium price, great project area, and we also had a really strong team. So it seems like an opportune time to list.
Well, listing in April, we're talking to you coming up to the end of June. So you haven't been on the boards for that long. You raised $7 million at 20 cents a share. You've been doing very well. But I want to ask you, the question is, how did you come across these projects and why did you choose that particular area? Because, I mean, there are other areas that have got uranium, like here in Australia.
Yes, so sure. Look, there's some great jurisdictions around the world for uranium, including Namibia, Australia, Canada. So they're all fantastic jurisdictions. But the opportunity really came up to purchase these projects off ISO Energy, who happens to be our major shareholder. So we formed a heads of agreement with ISO Energy over the purchase of Clover, Gemini and Tower. And I was sort of approached for the CEO role and asking, where are these projects located, and was informed, the Athabasca Basin in Canada. And I thought, wow, that is a compelling story for investors on the ASX to be able to have an investment opportunity into Canada, which is, the Athabasca Basin really is the most prolific uranium district globally. And, in terms of a place to operate and potentially have a uranium mine, it's just a fantastic part of the world. So it was very compelling.
Why have you got such an interest in uranium? Now, you were with Extract Resources, which is another uranium. I just think for our listeners to understand, what's your understanding of uranium? How do you know about this district being so prolific?
Yeah, so my previous role was at Extract Resources. I've also worked for another uranium company called New Power before Extract Resources. So one was a uranium exploration company in Australia, and so I've done a bit of exploration in the Australian jurisdictions in the Northern Territory. And the other obviously had uranium exploration slash development in Namibia, which is another fantastic jurisdiction. So so I have worked across two other jurisdictions, but I mean, one of the largest uranium mines in the world is Cigar Lake, which is in the same jurisdiction that these projects are in. So our Tower project is only 10 kilometres, for example, from Cigar Lake. So it's quite a compelling location to sort of be exploring. And there's been so many discoveries recently. I mean, you look at the Arrow deposit, which is owned by NexGen, and it's just such an amazing deposit. Their NPV and project economics around that project are just incredible. Having come from Extract, which had Husab, which was the second largest uranium project globally, you compare the project economics between Arrow and Husab, and it's just like, wow, this is off the scale. So, that's the sort of jurisdiction that we're talking about and that we're located in and where the exploration is occurring.
Well, I love the underlying excitement. It sounds to me like you're pretty excited about what 92 Energy is doing. So let's talk. You just mentioned that you've got some projects, and I love the fact that they are very easy to mention Gemini, Tower, and Clover. Nice, easy names. Talk to me about where they are, because you said I think Gemini is located 10 kilometres from Cigar Lake. Is that correct?
No, so it's Tower that's located 10 kilometres from Cigar Lake. Gemini is in another part of the Athabasca Basin, but still in a great jurisdiction. It's actually on the edge of the Athabasca Basin, which is quite a compelling story because it means the depth to unconformity is quite shallow.
Hang on a second, I gotta interrupt you there. What do you mean depth to unconformity? That's something I go, what is she talking about?
So the particular type of uranium deposits in the Athabasca Basin are known as unconformity type uranium deposits. And there's two types of unconformity type uranium deposits. There's one that's basement hosted unconformity uranium deposits, which is similar to the Arrow deposit, which is why the economics are just so fantastic. And then there's unconformity type unconformity deposits, if that makes sense. So the reason why we really like Gemini, which is our project on the edge of the basin, is because the depth to unconformity is quite shallow, which means the drill holes are not going to be particularly deep in that area. Okay. So exploration is cheaper, but also because it has sort of similarities of the depth of an Arrow type deposit to it. So we're sort of looking for something more similar to an Arrow type deposit than, say, for example, the Cigar Lake, even though we'd take both if we could find either.
Absolutely. You raised the $7 million. Where are you going to be spending that? What are you doing?
Well, so as I said, the first project that we're looking at drilling out is Gemini. I should just rewind a little bit. We're currently flying VTEM over our Gemini and Tower projects. So those two projects, we're having the VTEM survey flown over. And that's to really determine the conductivity of the areas. So conductivity of the areas is associated with graphitic rocks, which tends to be associated with uranium mineralization. So Right. Those are two very large surveys that we're carrying out. And so a good chunk of the money is going towards them. And then our first drilling program is starting very shortly, actually, in July. And that will be over our Gemini project. And the reason we're drilling Gemini first is because the geology just looks fantastic. As I said, the depth to unconformity is relatively low. But we also have radioactive boulders to the south of that project, as well as what we call muskeg sampling and lake sediment sampling. So the muskeg sampling has had sampling between 0 and 660 ppm, which, if you know anything about uranium deposits, is actually very high sort of grade as a starting point. So the Namibian deposits, by example, are sort of 200 to 400 ppm. And this is just in our muskeg's sampling that we're getting these results. So it's a pretty compelling story that there might be some mineralization within that area.
Sorry to interrupt you again, but is ppm, when you talk about that, again, just unpack that a little bit for me. The higher the ppm, the more likely it is you've got a strong uranium deposit. Just explain that.
Yeah, so that's just grade that I'm talking about. So ppm is parts per million.
Yep.
And in places like Namibia, they talk parts per million for uranium deposits. Now, in places like Canada, they actually talk in percentages. So we're talking, you know, multiples higher in terms of grade in the Canadian context, which is also one of the reasons why Canadian projects are so compelling, because the grade is so high associated with unconformity type deposits. So, yeah, so just in the muskeg sampling, so in the bogs, they're sampling between 0 and 600 ppm, which is, you know, very compelling for, you know, putting drill holes down and hopefully finding the source of that uranium.
And that's important, isn't it, to find the source, because then that tells you a lot more.
Yeah, well, the source of the uranium is obviously where the deposit might be. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to basically work out where our drill targets will go based on our VTEM results, which have just come out over the southern portion of Tower. And they happen to correspond with those muskeg sampling as well as the radioactive boulders. So this is all building a very, very prospective picture for that particular area, which is why we're drilling Gemini first.
So going back to, so you've got Gemini Tower, Clover. Is Clover anywhere close to Gemini? I mean, I'm just trying to get a picture of where you are at. And I want to know, are there any issues with landholders, or what's it like in order to get permitting and get on with exploring there?
Yeah, so Clover is further into the basin, so it's deeper in the basin. So I talk about the depth to the unconformity. So that's a much deeper project, although that's very prospective as well. It's a lot deeper, so more expensive to drill than, for example, our Gemini and Tower projects. Now, in terms of land permits, we've already got permits over our Tower and our Gemini projects. So we're ready to go there, basically, with that.
So no issues there. You said earlier in this conversation that you did a deal with ISO Energy.
Yes.
How did that come about? Why did ISO Energy not want to do it on their own? Why did they bring you guys in?
Well, look, I mean, I really can't speak for ISO Energy, but I assume that they had discovered their Hurricane deposit, which is a very good discovery that they've made recently. And so they were looking to drill that out and do some feasibility around that deposit. And what tends to happen with companies when they make a good discovery is that's where all of their focus goes. So they might have some very good exploration and want to do some exploration in those areas, but not actually be able to do as much exploration as they would normally do because their focus shifts to delineating that resource. So in the case of ISO Energy, I assume that it was just a matter of, okay, they wanted to focus on Hurricane. We're a company that obviously has some great management around it and, you know, some excellent skill sets in uranium exploration. So it seemed like a good opportunity for them, I think.
But are they still a shareholder within 92 Energy?
Yeah, so they're actually our major shareholder. Okay. They own 16.5% of us. And over the three projects that we were referring to before, Gemini Tower and Clover, the original claims that they gave to us through the heads of agreement was has an NSR attached to that, so a 2%.
What's an NSR? Excuse my.
So it's like a royalty attached to it, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And sorry, I should just say we're talking a lot about Clover, Gemini and Tower, but we also have pegged the two new projects in the northwestern portion of the Athabasca Basin called Powerline and Cypress. So let's not forget about that in our conversation because they're also extremely good projects.
Yeah, I'm going to come to those in a moment. But before I do, you mentioned a moment ago about management. And everybody out there knows that I often say you can have the best asset in the world, but if you don't have the right management, what's going to happen? Not a lot. So just very briefly touch on who's behind 92 Energy.
The tongue there. So obviously, as we alluded to previously, I'm Extract Resources, which actually was a company that started as an exploration company and discovered the Husab uranium deposit in Namibia. And so that went from a 3 mil market cap to 2 billion market cap. And I was brought in as their company secretary, corporate affairs. So sort of had a lot to do with the end sale to CGMPC, which is a state-owned entity. And we sold that for $2 billion at the end of the day. So nice. That's my background. I'm also a corporate lawyer. So I've had, you know, a huge amount of experience in the past in these uranium companies. And then we've got Andy Wild, who is our chief geologist. He's absolutely amazing. And he's an exploration manager, I should say, not chief geologist. But he comes from Paladin originally and Deep Yellow. And so he has been the chief geologist of both of those companies. And he also has a PhD in unconformity type uranium, which is the type of uranium that we're actually exploring for in the Athabasca. So there's two locations in the world that have unconformity type uranium, and one being the Alligator River region and the second being the Canadian context. So obviously with that in mind, you know, he's got tremendous experience in uranium exploration and geology for these types of deposits. So that's the two of us. Then we've got Richard Pierce, who's our chairman. He's been involved in several uranium companies in the past, including Wild Horse and Nova. And we've got Oliver Cruiser, who's on our board. He has, you know, tremendous experience in uranium as well. He's actually a geologist with a PhD and always involved in prospectivity studies around the world for uranium. And then obviously Matt Gauchy is actually the person that put together this original concept. So he's got a lot of experience in uranium over the years as well, and sort of worked around most of the projects.
Yeah, my regards to Mr. Gauchy. How is he? I hope he's well. Give him my best regards. Haven't seen him for a while. Two things, we're running out of time, so I really want to touch on Powerline and Cypress before we move on to what you're going to be doing with investors' money and why investors should be looking at you right now. So let's just quickly touch on Powerline and Cypress.
Yeah, so Powerline and Cypress are two areas that we pegged. So these are... these are grounds that Andy and Ollie have been looking at for a long time. And the reason being is they sort of sit on the edge of the basin, which again is that depth to unconformity is very shallow, but also because they're just so prospective. So Powerline, for example, has 34 uranium occurrences on the actual project area in accordance with the Saskatchewan database. And Cypress has 7 uranium occurrences. So, I mean, the two areas are very compelling stories, and we're currently undertaking a desktop review of those two areas. So stay tuned, because we will be putting out an ASX announcement on those two areas and exactly, what our desktop review of those areas says. So it's quite exciting. I, to be honest, have never seen a geologist more excited about a single project than Powerline. So it's quite an exciting project.
Wow. So watch, ladies and gentlemen, watch out for that announcement that might come out very soon about Powerline. And I can sense your excitement. Before we finish up, I really want to understand what's the news flow in the coming months, and why should investors look at 92 Energy? But let's start with news flow.
Let's start with news flow. So news flow, we're currently completing the VTEM over the northern part of Gemini and Tower. So stay tuned. We'll obviously put out, we'll be looking to put an announcement out on those results. We're also going to be putting an announcement out on those desktop reviews over Power and Cypress. So stay tuned for those. And of course, we're starting our drilling program over Gemini. That will be starting in early to mid July. So we'll be putting out an announcement in relation to that and what our plans are over those areas. So there's quite a bit of news flow coming. And then, of course, you know, hopefully some results after that. So, yes, that's the news flow of the next little bit. We'll be busy, busy, busy.
Well, most people know that are out there listening, I always ask, why should investors look at 92 Energy right now? Give me three compelling reasons.
Well, one is, of course, the news flow that I've just discussed. So there'll be plenty of news flow. The second is, I mean, Gemini really is a very compelling project. It's very prospective. And in fact, all 5 of our projects are very prospective. So they're all fantastic. We're in the highest grade uranium jurisdiction in the world. And of course, we've got a fantastic management team and board. I think we've set it up really well, and we're ready to go. We're really fired up about it all. And of course, the uranium market is hot to trot as well. So that's
As I said, I've always said this before. You know, as we're going into this new green future, I think uranium is set for a completely fabulous future. I think you guys are in the right spot. I can sense your excitement about what you've got. As you said, right now, you've got great news flow. You've got a compelling story with Gemini. It's the highest grade, and a great management and board. Siobhan Lancaster, thank you very much for talking to us on Small Caps today. And I'm really looking forward to the news flow as you go forward this year. And congratulations.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Thanks.